When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Exciting news, Central Florida, from the American Adversaries Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. Lair Adams here, and in case you haven't heard, our esteemed Attorney General, Eric Holder, has won the Political Gall Award, given to the lamest, stupidest, dumbestest idea ever floated to save his and his boss's jobs. Eric Shaw has offered to meet the press, but only if everything is off the record, Chris. And of course, no real questions will be allowed. In other words, he wants to say, I tell you, you swallow it and believe it, and then you shut up. Now, you can't shut up my co-host. His mouth is already on the attack list with the IRS. Christopher Hart!
Oh, that's right, folks. Welcome to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries, and we want to thank you for being with us here tonight. You know, with this Eric Holder business, we're gonna have to maybe run a contest around here. What day and time will it be when Eric Holder resigns? Because the pressure is building and building and building. And yesterday was a sad showing in Washington in the press room when Jay Carney tried to answer questions, finally a few probing questions about the Eric Holder affair, and could not, and basically finally just sort of threw up his hands and gave up. You know, what's going to be interesting is...
It's so tough to feel for this guy, but you have to.
Well, I don't. He's brought kinda, all this...
Jay
Carney. Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know,
that's his job, you know?
Well, I suppose so. You'd think if any of them had any dignity amongst themselves, that they wouldn't want to be a part of that crowd over there. But folks, I want to welcome to the studio with us this afternoon a crowd anybody would love to be around. I'm talking about our great friend, Colonel Danny McKnight. Welcome back to the show once again, Colonel McKnight.
Happy to be here, as always.
And also Mike McBath, who's joining us in the studio this afternoon. Welcome to our show, Mike.
Always a pleasure, and I love the fight that we get going on.
You're trying to start something up, aren't you?
No, I think the government already started it.
Oh, yeah.
We're just here to make sure they understand the direction they're going.
And that's part of why we're here, is to help everybody understand that direction. And we appreciate you gentlemen being here with us tonight. Once again, folks, Colonel McKnight is a regular now on our show every month, and we're shooting for the last Thursday of every month, as long as his schedule accommodates. This man does more traveling than Barack Obama, I think, and that's saying something.
And I'm working when I do it.
You don't play as much golf, do you?
Nostra Dennis will be joining us at the bottom of the hour, and you're, of course, welcome to join us at any moment as well with your questions or comments for our guests today or about any subject matter. 407-774-8255 is the number. Of course, when we have Colonel McKnight in, we like to take advantage of his expertise. Just a quick reminder, folks, Colonel McKnight is the Colonel McKnight that's depicted by Tom Sizemore in the movie Black Hawk Down. Colonel McKnight was the Ranger Battalion Commander at the time of the battalion that was board, based at Fort Campbell, Georgia. And he has extensive experience both in combat and in leadership roles in the military. And as I said, we like to take advantage of that whenever we get the opportunity. Colonel McKnight, you know, a lot's been happening since you were here on the show last. First of all, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the Benghazi thing, because a fellow by the name of Roger Simon has recently written basically what you said on our show, I believe last fall, or whenever you were on our show the first time after Benghazi. And that is that Colonel Carter Ham had... General Carter Ham had a special ops rescue team ready to go and had ordered them to Benghazi to take care of business the way you fellas do, and was ordered by the White House to call them back, and then was ready to counterman that order on his own and send them anyway when his deputy came in and said, look, you know, they're not going, whether you send them or not, they're not going. And you said at that time that that's exactly what happened.
Well, that's everything that I had been told up to that point, and there was too many things that pointed out to it being exactly correct. So I was sort of repeating what I'd been told, and I knew sooner or later most of these things do come out the right way. You know, I've had a few people attack me recently to say, you know, obviously you can tell which side of the fence they were on because they said, no, it was a military choice not to go. I said, no, it wasn't. But if you even say it was a military choice not to go, who's the commander of the military? President. The president. He's commander-in-chief.
That's right.
So if they say the military, you know, was choosing not to go, that means the commander-in-chief chose not to go.
And if it's true the way I understand it, you can't just slough off that responsibility. No. Come on, you guys. You take care of it.
As a matter of fact, a fellow by the name of Colonel David Hunt. Are you familiar with Colonel David Hunt?
I know Dave Hunt very well.
Well, Larry, if you'd read the quote by Colonel David Hunt, please.
All right. It says here, all the rest of the nonsense to which we've been treated, from prepared talking points, congressional hearings, and finally to the outright lies, matter not when compared to the ignominious moments in which the president of the United States refused to do his job. All the president had to say within the first 2 hours while being briefed by the Secretary of Defense was, send in a response force. This Department of Defense to do everything and anything to save lives in Benghazi, Libya. Later, subsequent government claims saying we could not get there within the 7+ hours that the tragedy lasted are specious at best and an outright lie at worst. We did not even care enough to try. That fact alone should make all Americans who mourn the loss of four of our countrymen very angry.
And that pretty much
didn't even try.
That pretty much also echoes what you've said on our show in the past. So I know you must concur with what the Colonel Hunt said.
Absolutely. I know Dave very well, and Dave very, very accurately speaks his mind, mm-hmm. and he always knows what he's saying when he does it. He does a lot of the shows on TV and stuff. Dave is a quality guy. He was a tremendous military guy, and I know him, and for him to say those things, I'm glad he did.
Well, has the White House ever addressed that one question? Why they didn't even try, other than they wouldn't have done any good, they addressed it?
And then we've addressed this before. How could they know that it wouldn't have done any good? How could they know how long the attack was going to persist? How could they know that these guys wouldn't go rearm themselves and come back even with even larger forces the next time?
I mean, there is no reason not to commit. I don't care what anybody says this bit about, well, we didn't have a good intel picture of what was going on. Well, you're not going to get a good intel picture sitting in the Oval Office, for one thing, because there is a place called the Situation Room, and that's the only place you're going to get the real, you know, gist of what's going on. But you know where the commander-in-chief was? He was sitting in the Oval Office. He wasn't in the Situation Room, in case you wondered. Well, that has also been confirmed.
He may not even have been in the Oval Office. He was probably in the upstairs personal quarters of the White House. You know, Ms. Robinson, his mother-in-law who lives with him, she has to be at the dinner table at a certain time, you see. He can't get Ms. Robinson mad.
Yeah, and he had to get ready for his trip to Las Vegas the next day, too, don't forget, because that also is what followed. But the commander-in-chief is supposed to be in the Situation Room, not the Oval Office. And if people say, well, it's the same, no, it's not. There's no communications capability in the Oval Office. It's all in the Situation Room. That's the reason it's called the Situation Room. And I guess he hasn't found his way down there yet.
Yes, but you can still campaign better from the Oval Office.
Yes, absolutely. And then you can also say, well, I didn't know what was going on, because he didn't. because he was sitting in the Oval Office where he didn't know what was going on.
And not only do you get things right after the fact, but I've been reading recently some of your book, Streets of Mogadishu. And by the way, folks, you can get your own copy of Streets of Mogadishu by going to Colonel McKnight's website, which is Colonel McKnight.
www.DannyMcKnight.com.
DannyMcKnight.com. That's with a K. Can I read just a little part of a paragraph that you wrote? And this book was published when Barack Obama was first elected. It was in the early part of his first term. It actually came out in July 2011.
Right.
Okay, so he'd only been on the job about 2 years. And you're talking, and this is in the Observations and Reflections, Chapter 13, when you're talking about, well, I'll just read. The time periods in which the most worrisome decision-making has taken place happened to be during Democratic administrations. Presidents Clinton and Obama are exceptionally charismatic men, but charismatic leadership will only get you so far. From the perspective of true leadership experience, I see some with President Clinton who had served as the governor of Arkansas, but pretty much none with President Obama. As for know-how regarding the challenges of crisis leadership, which is what we're talking about here, as for know-how regarding the challenges of crisis leadership, I see little to none for both. A leader who suffers from this kind of inexperience should always be surrounded by highly qualified, competent, experienced people in key positions. Both presidents failed here as well. Remarkably prescient words, sir, that once he did get that supposed 3 o'clock a.m. or, you know, that crisis phone call, that he was going to be clueless. And the man absolutely was clueless. And that's why he wasn't in the Situation Room. That's why he didn't do anything.
Yep.
He probably couldn't get Valerie Jarrett on the phone.
And I believe that Hillary Clinton, when she was campaigning against him, made a statement regarding who do you want receiving the phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Another thing about this is, you know, when you just think of him, where was he? I mean, can't the guy just, I was here, I was there. What has ever happened to honesty in government? It is so pathetic out there. You know, you talk about yourself being a common sense individual. We all know he's guilty. Come on. You know, the guy's totally inept. What takes everybody so long to understand that? And I figure he's probably doing a memory game with Eric Holder that evening, and they couldn't remember where they were or what was happening in the future. So it makes you sick.
Or what they said or didn't say. It does, you see it from the perspective of leadership, and it's actually bringing about these crises, if I read from your book correctly.
If you take the proper action when a crisis occurs, and you usually take proper action based on experience.
Sure.
It's a big deal, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reason you don't become a Ranger Battalion commander in your first command. You have to command a battalion before. That's called experience. So I had to command a regular battalion, and I did for 18 months before I took the Ranger Battalion. And that's just the requirement. Why? Because if you're going to be in a Ranger Battalion, you're going to go first. You're going to have the crisis handed to you first. So that means experience. Can't they figure that out in the White House, that experience does matter? It matters a lot.
It matters a lot, but you also go on to say, and I think this explains a lot of it, and this goes to what you're saying there, Mike McBath, this is the same chapter, a couple of paragraphs from the end, and I quote again from your book, Streets of Mogadishu. Focusing on political correctness to a fault often results in a dire failure in decision-making that leads to doing the easy wrong thing versus the hard right thing. To tell the truth, you see, Mike, is the hard right thing to do. It's much easier for these clowns to lie about it.
No, I mean,
but there eventually, as Danny says, eventually the people, the facts come forward and betray their lies.
And wasn't it actually like a 2 or 4 hour period? Two of them were killed, then a couple of hours later.
Exactly.
So
mm-hmm.
There was no one they could talk to after the first two went, you know, or a decision made. It's like, are you kidding me? If they wanted to save them, they could have.
It's all the cover up. I mean, you know,
it's just a total cover up.
They know.
As part we had of, that election there, too.
See, you got to remember that. See, that's what a lot of people forget.
We all forget that.
That they forget that was leading
that
up
was the
to the
issue.
Election. Had that been ugly, he might not be in office.
And Hillary's girl, her right-hand man, I mean, basically, she's the one that pointed it out to everyone. Mm-hmm. Oh, we can't have the Republicans will tear us up over this.
Well, they chose politics over America.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly what
And they made the easy wrong decision instead of the hard right decision. The hard right decision would have been to send in the military, understanding that there would be risks and there may be casualties, but that's what you had to do in a situation like that. You just couldn't leave 35 Americans sitting there with their tails hanging out to be picked off.
And think about it, Chris. What a way to help him on the election if he at least had shown some strength.
Absolutely. But it's the political correctness to a fault.
Well, not knowing, for them to say we didn't know exactly what the situation was, so we didn't want to send anybody in. Let me reflect back a little bit in Afghanistan when there were four Navy SEALs on the top of a mountain. One of them, Lieutenant Michael Murphy, Medal of Honor recipient. The only survivor, Marcus Luttrell. Those four guys had a CH-47 helicopter come after them. And that helicopter got shot down, and everybody on it died. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal. But they didn't know the situation, but you know what? They didn't care because their buddies were out there fighting by themselves, and they weren't going to leave them alone. Don't tell me you don't know the situation, so you don't send people. Yeah, you do.
And that's really what your book is about, because that's what was going on over there in Mogadishu. The guys went in to extract some prisoners. And in that process, the whole thing cascaded. And in the end, you went in and brought them out. So it can be done.
Yes, it can.
Under fire, under great fire. I mean, it's a fascinating read because you describe it was you guys were just sitting ducks on the way in and the way out. Well, and even these armored vehicles were shot literally to pieces with you guys inside.
Well, to a man, I can tell you the answer to that is very easy. Everybody had rather say, I went in and tried to get them out, but I didn't, but I died trying.
That's right.
To say, I didn't go.
What does that do with the code for the rest of your men?
Plain and simple. You don't leave them. You don't leave them. And we left four people. We left four people in Benghazi because of a protest, as I recall. Yeah. Protesting with RPGs.
Oh, it was a movie that none of them had seen. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've never heard anything about that movie again either, have we?
Well, the guy's still in jail, by the way.
I feel sorry for the guy now. What are you doing in jail?
Yeah.
Let him out.
Well,
Hillary promised that when the four bodies came back, she promised that day at, what was it, MacDill Air Force Base, that they were going to get the guy who made that video. And by golly, they did.
To this day,
not one of the people who did the actual violence and killing that day has been held accountable, even though they know who they are. And in some cases, reporters have met with them in cafes.
Horrendous.
Matter of fact, they recently said they didn't have enough to prosecute them.
Under our system, they don't.
Yeah,
we only have pictures and everything. Yeah. That's it.
Fort Hood was workplace violence. Remember that.
Folks, we are the American Adversaries. We got a good crew in here. We got Danny McKnight. We have former professional football player Mike McBath. Did you used to take showers with O.J. Simpson? I can't tell that to people, can I?
That's a very touchy subject. No, not actually.
We'll be right back.
From Vacation Travel Planners, bringing you the travel deals of the week. Like Holland America is offering double onboard credit on their European sailings. Rates starting as low as $5.99 per person. How about an Alaska cruise? For 7 nights, starting as low as $3.49 per person. Book one of NCL's newest ships, the Breakaway or the Getaway, and receive a $50 onboard credit. Royal Caribbean has several specials going on, like free upgrades or onboard credit. And the new Quantum of the Seas is available for booking on June 4th. Unless you're a Crown and Anchor member, then you can book now. What's your cruisitude? Now through June 18th, visit our website or Facebook page to be entered to win $1,000 toward a future vacation. Just tell us where you'd like to go. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
From his beautiful seaside hometown of Positano, Italy, Chef Pasquale Barber brings his exclusive family recipes to Central Florida and Cafe Positano. Whether you're looking for true Italian pizza and calzone, or their mouth-watering special dishes and elegant dining at an affordable price, let Cafe Positano show you why food is not a business, but a passion. Cafe Positano is 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. Call 407-774-8080. Pasquale?
I want to thank you everybody to come to Cafe Positano.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
Okay, welcome back, folks. Well, you are listening to The American Adversaries. Christopher Hart, Lair Adams in the studio with Mike McBath and Colonel Danny McKnight. And you can be a part of the show, 407-774-8255. And Colonel McKnight had to correct me during the break. He commanded the Ranger Battalion at Fort Benning, Georgia. And it's my nephew who's right now presently based at Fort Campbell, which is in Kentucky. Mike McBath, you made an excellent point during the break, if you could, real quick.
Oh, I was just imagining. Can you see... Barack Obama is like captain of your football team, and you know you're about to go out in the game, and he starts lecturing the team, saying, "Now look, we really shouldn't hit him too hard, and we're really not that good. I mean, you know, and it's a case that there's a good chance they'll probably win. And if any of you guys get hurt, don't expect anybody to come in the game." Can you imagine how excited you would be to play that game? I mean, what a leader. What a leader.
And I'd like you to address that point. Now, Mike McBath, he's a former football player, past president and currently vice president, I think, of the NFL Players Union. Yep. And but he's absolutely right. You know, the military is much like a team. You guys have teams in the military. And if you're going into combat or on the field to play, you like to think that somebody's got your back. Does this type of thing create that element of doubt?
Oh, this absolutely creates that kind of doubt. Can you imagine the other people that we have in embassies across the world? Across the earth, we have embassies, and we have people there. Can you imagine what's in their mindset right now that, boy, if we get in trouble, we're on our own? I mean, that's got to be what they're thinking, because they're saying, we're not going to get any help. It's already been shown. So we've got to prepare so that, you know, if the fight happens, we got to be ready to fight to the death. Because obviously we're not going to get any help.
And what have we shown our enemies?
Yep.
But what have we shown them around the world? Hey, we aren't so tough.
No, that's a perfect thing. You're exactly right. We've set the example for them. Yep, come get us because we're not going to come after you.
Or if we do, we'll send police.
Folks, we had a real short segment, the second segment, because I had Nicholas Cicero, our man on the other side of the glass, extend the first segment. So we're getting ready to go to the second break. But when we come back, we'll go to the phone lines. I see we have Barbara. Barbara, hang on. We'll get to you. And of course, we have a lot more to come from Colonel McKnight, Mike McBath. You are listening to The American Adversaries on News Talk 660. We'll be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force is analyzing a suspicious letter addressed to President Obama. The Secret Service says it is similar to ricin-laced letters sent to New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. New York Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly says the letters apparently all came from the same machine and contained an oily substance. He describes them as angry rants about the debate over guns. Prospects for Syrian peace talks have taken a couple of blows today. The exiled opposition coalition announced it would not participate, linking its decision to the regime's offensive on the western town of Qusair. Meanwhile, President Bashar Assad told the Lebanese TV station that he is confident of victory in his country's civil war. He also discussed planned Russian missile shipments, which he said would significantly strengthen the country's air defenses. But he was vague on whether Syria had received a first shipment. More details available at srnnews.com.
Acos the Solutionist here. Join us on My Cool Inventions. Every Saturday, we'll be looking for the next $100 million product invention. Be a part of the action so you can vote for your favorite inventor or hear from experts on how to turn your great product idea into a big brand. Better yet, submit your inventions to Genesis, the Search for America's Top Invention Contest. You could win a $50,000 grand prize package. Go to MyCoolInventions.com or tune in Saturdays from 4 to 6 p.m. on WORL.
This is Marilee from Vacation Travel Planners, bringing you the travel deals of the week. Like Holland America is offering double onboard credit on their European sailings. Rates starting as low as $5.99 per person. How about an Alaska cruise? For 7 nights, starting as low as $3.49 per person. Book one of NCL's newest ships, the Breakaway or the Getaway, and receive a $50 onboard credit. Royal Caribbean has several specials going on, like free upgrades or onboard credit, and the new Quantum of the Seas is available for booking on June 4th. Unless you're a Crown and Anchor member, then you can book now. What's your cruisitude? Now through June 18th, visit our website or Facebook page to be entered to win $1,000 toward a future vacation. Just tell us where you'd like to go. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Oh, yeah. Keep listening for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
For 16 years, Cafe Positano has been famous for blending their traditional Italian family recipes with the latest cuisines. They offer affordable fine dining in the banquet room and more casual dining in the main area. From pizza to specialty dishes and tender, juicy prime rib, everything is made fresh daily, even our sauces. And owner Pasquale Barba promises you'll want to return. Located 4 miles west on I-4 on 436, phone 407-774-8080.
Cafe Positano is true Italian food, e lo prometto.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL.
Okay, welcome back, folks. That's right, we are the American Adversaries. Christopher Hart, Lair Adams in the studio with you this afternoon. And with us, we have the pleasure of having his co-host along with us, Colonel Danny McKnight. Once again, welcome to the show, Colonel.
Thank you.
And Mike McBath, who's also with us this afternoon. And we have Barbara on the line. But just real quick, folks, don't forget, if you would like to, you can still make it there over to Doc's Streetside Grill. That's on South Orange Avenue, right across the street from the Orlando Regional Medical Center. And on the third floor is Dr. Matusitz. Dr. Jonathan Matusitz from UCF is going to be presenting tonight a lecture called The Muslim Brotherhood, the World's Most Dangerous Organization. It starts at 6:30. It's free. Parking is free. And you still have plenty of time to get over there and see Dr. Matusitz, and he'll be back on our show again in the near future as well to talk about this. And I want to talk a little bit about this with the gentleman we have in the studio with us this afternoon. But first, I'd like to go to the phone, which and where Barbara has been holding. Thank you for calling this afternoon, Barbara.
Hi, thank you. And thank you, Colonel McKnight, for your service.
Thank you, ma'am.
So I'm glad the Colonel is in the studio because he can probably decide if I'm crazy or not. Because Lair and Chris, you were talking earlier about Obama has experienced people around him to tell him what to do. And he, you know, and he needs that. And why didn't he tell them? Well, I think that those experienced people would have told him what to do. I think Axelrod would have moved the earth to get to Obama to tell him to get into that Situation Room. But I really think, here's my theory, that Obama has something going on in Libya, perhaps something even to do with the embassy. It went terribly wrong. The embassy, the consulate or the compound was attacked, and he ran to the Oval Office to call, who knows, some politico in Libya to say, what's happening, to try to call off the dog.
Colonel McKnight, we reported on our show last week as well that Roger Simon, the reporter that I mentioned earlier, he also said in his story that the State Department, under Hillary Clinton's direction, had sold weapons or had given weapons, provided weapons to the rebels who were trying to overthrow Gaddafi. And if you remember, it was Hillary Clinton, along with Susan Rice, who really were behind the Obama decision to establish the no-fly zone. And what he reported was that Christopher Stevens was charged with getting as many of those weapons back as he could, and that he was attacked, and that's why he was meeting with the Turkish liaison that day, because Turkey was the avenue to get the weapons from Libya into Syria. And he evidently was trying to get their help, their cooperation, to get these weapons back. So it was perhaps that's what he was trying to hide and protect himself and Hillary Clinton in the process. But if that's the case, doesn't it still become even more important for him to get the people on the ground in there to get the situation cooled off and under control rather than just let it go out of control as he did?
Boy, let me hang on here. There's about six different answers I've got for you. First thing, Barbara, is I don't think you're crazy, because the kind of things you said is what we're all wondering about. And, you know, one of these days we're going to get all the right answers. I think a lot of us already feel we know the right answers, but they haven't been, you know, lived up to yet, and people are still trying to, you know, cover up and all that. So, no, don't think you're crazy. There's a lot of things going on, and one day we'll find out, okay, I promise you. Now, there's a couple of things, you know, that bothers me about some of the things you just said. The first thing is we supported the rebels to overthrow Egypt.
Yep.
Boy, that was a real success, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
I mean, what are they doing
start
right now?
Start listing these successes,
they've got
yes.
the Muslim Brotherhood in charge over there. Boy, we really helped them out, didn't we? That country's a lot better off, I know. Yeah. And then we help overthrow Libya. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that Mubarak or Gaddafi were, you know, model citizens, but is Libya any better? Well, guess not, because, you know, look at what's happened there. So, I mean, and now you talk about trying to get weapons back. Well, why did we give them to them in the first place? When did we start supporting the rebels around the world? And now where are we supporting them? In Syria. I'm somewhere lost in the concept of the United States of America, under the president of the United States, President Obama, has become the supporter of the rebels of the world to overthrow all the governments. And you know what we've done over there by doing this? We have weakened the Mideast, where Iran is slowly, slowly saying, okay, we've almost got it where we want it. We're shortly to be the most powerful, and we can handle everything. That'll be a great success for us, too, won't it?
Yeah, and they'll have Russia to have their back.
That's right. And how was that big event of getting Osama bin Laden, how did that help us garner friends in the Middle East?
That's right.
Hasn't worked out too well.
None of that has. Like, Pakistan hates us because we went in there and got it. I don't care if they hate us or not. They can kiss my butt, personally, you know? I mean, it's ridiculous. We're doing these things to be politically correct. Oh, that's on the front of my book, too, isn't it?
It sure is.
But, you know, we're doing all this,
to a fault.
And every bit of it is going to come back to haunt us, and it'll probably be after he's out of office. Now, I don't know if that's going to be after three more years, because he wants to be the emperor in 2016. So, you know, we got that to deal with, too. Sorry, Chris. It gets to be going.
No, I couldn't have said it better, even if I'd known what to say. But Barbara, did he respond to your question?
Yes, I'm vindicated.
So you are. You absolutely are. And keep thinking. Keep wondering. Keep demanding to know what the truth is, and never, ever stop.
Country. Yeah.
Thank you so very much for calling.
Chris, I think, too, again, what is overlooked is the horror of he chose politics over country at the most important. You know, that's even being lost into the discussion, because certainly what happened to these fellows was horrendous. But what would he sell us for? What would you and everybody be sold for with this guy standing there as president? Would he sacrifice tens of thousands of people? Could you put a dirty bomb off and go, well, that's okay. We don't, you know, we'll work on it and do a, you know, investigation.
I'm absolutely.
Where are we going with this?
I'm absolutely convinced that if North Korea were to, say, launch a nuclear weapon and strike Hawaii, that he would apologize for us. And he would be reluctant.
Pretty scary.
He would be
and
reluctant.
We have to get to the bottom first before we have a response.
And he would be reluctant to respond in kind.
I believe that could very well be the case.
Fortunately, and I believe this, if North Korea chooses to do this, as we've talked about before, we will retaliate, but regardless of whether he says to or not, because we have big boys with big pants on that say, once it's coming at us, we're retaliating.
Right.
They won't wait, because what's the worst thing? He relieves them too? you know, but they'll save lives. They will take the proper action. They're sitting there right now in Hawaii. Japan's even looking. Everybody's looking. And I still think the guy's just blowing smoke up our butts. So it's, you know.
And just to respond to what you were saying earlier is in response to Barbara and his garnering respect around the world, he is less popular than George Bush. In polls, this was revealed on Michael Medved's show. I heard it on the way to the studio this afternoon. He is in the Arab world. In the Arab world, Barack Obama is less popular now than George W. Bush. And I think George W. Bush, though, garnered a deal of respect from the. They understand.
They understand what would happen. It's called fear.
Exactly, and they understand the use of force, and they take advantage of any sign of weakness. And, you know, people disparage George W. Bush for his decision mostly to go to Iraq, but some also to go into Afghanistan because of the way he did. He went in with military. He put boots on the ground. Like it or not, though, that's the right way to do it. You don't put weapons in the hands of some group that you have no control over, and you never know where those weapons might be used against you the way they were used against us in Benghazi. Where do you think they got those rocket-propelled grenades and things?
Exactly.
You know, they didn't go down to the marketplace and get them hanging up on the strings like they get chickens or something.
Oh, come on, Chris. This is the same guy that put together Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Amen. It's, him and Eric.
Yeah. But we are so reluctant to do that. It's like, well, we know we're not. And even Obama, and when it comes to Syria, you know, even if you don't plan on boots on the ground, you don't tell the other guy that. And what does he do? He comes around and says, well, we're not going to put boots on the ground. You know, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. But we do have this red line here. You better not cross that. Well, that's hard come and gone. Well,
but he did worse than that, Chris. He actually stood up there and said, now, wait a minute. I shouldn't even have the power to respond.
And that's another.
They should be by committee.
I'm glad you brought that
great.
Up. I'm glad you brought that up, Larry, because that was another thing I wanted to talk to you about tonight, Colonel McKnight. Last week at, I believe it was Fort McNair, he gave his speech where he basically said the war against terrorism is pretty much over. We can start dialing it back now. And, yeah, we'll have more restrictions on the use of force, including drones and this and that and the other thing. Isn't he just being totally, totally unrealistic?
Either that or he's lost his ever-loving mind. I don't know which one it is, okay? Because, you know, we said that Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, said, we have defeated the core of Al-Qaeda. The next day, Yemen got hammered by Al-Qaeda. And I said, guess they forgot to tell them that we beat them.
They didn't get the message, huh?
We haven't defeated the core of Al-Qaeda because the thing about it is, anytime you kill a leader in Al-Qaeda, there's another one stepping right up. So they're there, and it is never going away, I think, ever. And unfortunately, our kids and grandkids are the ones that's going to have to keep dealing with it. It's such a bad thing, their choices of they believe that we're the infidels.
Right.
I mean, that's a simple fact. And they're not going away as long as we're still here. And so for him to say that, I mean, what was he thinking? I don't know the answer to it, Chris. It's so ludicrous. I really don't.
Remember, he's a Harvard graduate. Right.
So,
again, I want to see the grades and diploma, right?
So we hear.
I mean, Harvard College, not Harvard University.
Come on, who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes?
And folks, we're getting ready to go to the break, and once again, we welcome you to call 407-774-8255 is the number. But as we go toward the break, I just want to remind you one more time, this is why we need to go and hear people like Jonathan Matusitz when he talks about the Muslim Brotherhood, the world's most dangerous organization, because Colonel McKnight is absolutely right. We are in a struggle. It's literally a holy war, not one that we have declared, but one that has been declared against us. And regardless of what Barack Obama may think or say, he cannot declare it over without the other side agreeing that they surrender or whatever the terms are to agree. You don't declare. Have you ever heard of a situation, Colonel McKnight, where one side in a battle just suddenly says, well, we're done now, it's all over, and then is able to get up and walk away?
Yeah, they call it retreat, don't they?
Yeah, it means I give, you know, is what that means, you know.
And isn't that the way this is going to be perceived?
Sure, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, to say the war on terror is over, what happened in Boston?
Yeah.
It must not be over.
What happened in London?
You know, exactly. What happened in London? What happened in Boston? And if we were being truthful about it, what happened in Fort Hood, Texas?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, so say it's over? No, it's not. I wish it was.
Akbar when you kill people?
It's to deny the reality because they're afraid to face it. Once again, back to Mike, you know, they're afraid to face the truth.
Also reflects the damage of drugs in college.
and dealing
I know one guy,
Barack brags
a couple
about
of them
it.
Washington are suffering dearly, I can tell you that.
He brags about it in his autobiography.
I know, isn't that something to
folks,
be proud of?
The American adversaries will be right back. Do not go away.
This is Carl Jackson, and I'm president of Exterior Motives. We're a lawn and landscape service that emphasizes service, specializing in taking care of beautiful lawns in East Orange and Seminole counties. Call us, 407-677-7780. We'll take care of your lawn, home or commercial. We've got the newest equipment. We trim, we mulch, we provide sod and landscaping installations. We're the number one landscape maintenance company in East Orange and Seminole counties. So call me right away for a free on-site estimate. I think you'll be happy you did. Call me, 407-677-7780. Once again, that number is 407-677-7780. Exterior Motives. Imagine a better lawn.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
That's right. You just cannot beat him, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Folks, we are the American Adversaries. Larry Adams here with my co-host Christopher Hart. In the studio, we have Colonel Danny McKnight. Also, we have a good friend of ours. That would be, what's that guy's name again? Mike McBath? Yeah, actually, a former football player. And now you do stuff, too. Yeah, he does. He plays golf, too.
And real quickly, before we go to the next caller, Mike McBath is featured in this month's Florida Golf Central. And he's got a nice little spread here. Mike, I got you in the old NFL 76 Buffalo Bills pose.
Go Bills. I know. Actually, it was sort of funny. I feel bad being in Golf Magazine because a lot of guys know how I play. You know, I'd be like being a weightlifting magazine. You can't bench press 100 pounds.
It's Mike Bogey McBath, right?
Come on now.
You know, they say, how do you play? I said, read the magazine, okay?
That's Florida Golf Central. Pick one up when you get it. Chance,
absolutely.
Folks.
By the way, folks, we do have a caller in. If you'd like to call in, 407-774-8255. We're in the final round of tonight's four-round battle, and Bruce is calling. He has a comment for Colonel McKnight. Bruce, how are you tonight, buddy?
I'm fine. Several years ago, I heard a Marine colonel tell a story. When he was fresh out of the academy, he was in Vietnam as a young lieutenant. He took his platoon out, and they got ambushed. Caught in a firefight, and the point man was about 30, 40 yards in front of him. He was down, and he wasn't moving. The corpsman told the lieutenant, I'm going out to get him. The lieutenant said, don't do that. He's not moving. He's dead. And if you go out there, you'll get killed too. The corpsman said, I'm going anyway. He crawled out to the guy, and he began to drag him back, and he got hit on the way. When he got back to where the lieutenant was, pinned down, lieutenant said, damn it, I told you not to do that. He's dead, and now you're hit. And the corpsman said, yeah, but when I got there, he was still alive, and he said, I knew you'd come. These guys in Benghazi were expendable. Somebody pretty high up the food chain made a political decision that they were expendable, and I believe that.
Amen to you, Bruce.
Bruce, thank you for calling, and thanks for relating that to us. Fantastic heroism that is commonplace in our military. And that's one reason why we're so very proud of our military and the people who serve in all the branches of it. Colonel McKnight, it just goes to, you know, show that that's the camaraderie that you guys feel for one another. I mean, it's family. It's friend. It's love. It's more than just another guy in your platoon. I mean, and this is the way that military branches feel about other branches in the military. You just don't leave somebody hanging. It's just not supposed to be done.
I couldn't imagine North Korean forces acting like that. Not in a country like that. Compared to our country with the freedom that we have.
They're made to do things.
Yes.
Our guys volunteer.
One thing, Danny, I'll throw this a little later subject, but I always think of how tough the military's trained and people like this. And, you know, in college, we used to always play West Point and Navy. And every time we go up there, they wouldn't be the size of us, you know, or a little bit bigger, stronger. Oh, my God, they'd be biting your ankles, punching you. I feel like this. Get off me, will you?
The Navy guys that did that become Marines, I bet.
Oh, yeah. No, but I used to always laugh. And amazing story. There was a fellow in my high school who was a year ahead of me. He was All-State in football, goes to West Point. You know, his senior year, and we play at the end of the game. We go shake hands up there, and he comes up. And he says, "I said, well, Rich, how's school going?" He says, "Well, you know, I'm 856 in the class." I said, "Well, that's not bad." He says, "Yeah, there's 856." Yeah. And I'll tell you the amazing story. This kid was smart, and I mean, really a smart kid. But
yeah,
tough route, boy.
Especially if you're playing football and adding all that on to it. Yeah,
absolutely. Tough route.
All right, I'd like to go to Rick, who wants to pose an interesting question for us tonight. Thank you, Rick, for calling.
Yeah, I have a question which I believe is true, and then I'll hang up and listen to his response. I think going into Iraq was a big mistake because it made Iran stronger and more saber-rattling and everything else. I just want to know what he thinks of that.
That question is for Colonel McKnight. Okay, thank you, Rick. We appreciate you calling, Colonel. I see you shaking your head back and forth, meaning no.
Rick, I believe that going into Iraq was the right thing because based on the information that we've talked about that with weapons of mass destruction, the WMD, etc. I still think that we're going to come across them if we walk around the grounds of Syria. So I don't believe it was a wrong decision. And I believe what has made Iran stronger is the fall of Libya, the fall of Egypt, and most importantly, our withdrawal of all our combat forces from Iraq.
Yeah.
Had we left combat forces on the ground, it wouldn't be the same. It would be better for Iraq, and Iran would be a little bit more cautious about what they did. Those are the things that I think has allowed Iran to become stronger. And as I said earlier, talking about all that over there, we are giving them the opportunity to be the most powerful country in the Middle East.
As a matter of fact, you know, Iran suspended on their own after we invaded Iraq. They suspended their nuclear weapons program for a time until they felt it was safe to go back at it again. And it's been the weakness of Barack Obama and the poor decision-making, you're absolutely right, that has led to their strengthening of their hold over there. And you're absolutely right. We have turned our back on Iraq just like we turned our back on those people in Benghazi and getting the same results. The news reports today show that 500 people have died so far in the month of May, and there's still another 30 hours or so to go in this month. And that is more people that have died in Iraq due to bombings and insurgent activity since 2008. And that's when we were putting the finishing touches on the surge. I mean, this is ridiculous to think that it was a bad decision, and that in alone. And then you must consider if Saddam Hussein was still around.
Right.
He's going to be a polite, and he's going to be a game player. I mean, he's going to be, no way. He's not going to be a team player.
Yeah.
And with that country, we stayed long enough to give those people the purple finger. That was that ability to vote.
Exactly right.
And we needed to stay longer with a residual force, like you said, to make sure we don't lose the peace. We won the war. We're now in jeopardy of losing the peace.
It's called momentum, right? Yeah. Keep that momentum.
And our greatest ally in the Middle East, we've turned our back on them too, and we all know who it is because
Israel.
That's exactly right, because the president don't like them. But he did make a trip over there. That was a finger trip, wasn't it? You know, hi, I'm here, bye, you know.
It gave him some fine lip service,
yeah.
But turns out, you know, there was nothing to back it up.
Yeah.
And that's even probably more dangerous than not having gone over there at all.
Yep.
So
it's hard to imagine why Britain still, you know, feels as happy with them as they do, other than the fact that they don't have a military and they're going to count on us to save their butts.
Yeah. All right, fellas, you see, we're about out of time. Final thoughts from you, Mike, first?
Well, like I say, it's a pleasure to get Danny's thoughts and to see you fellows. And every day, I think the American public, if you just have common sense, you can see what's going on in the White House. You can see what's going on in the Judiciary Department. Come on. I mean, these people, it's time to go. I mean, we got to do better for the country. We can't throw money down the drain when we got all these problems and people we can help. This is insane. And thank God we have the Danny McKnights out there.
Absolutely. Colonel McKnight.
Well, Yeah, I agree with what Mike just said. We've got to wake up, and I think we are a little bit every day.
Yeah.
We're getting a little more awake as to what's going on, and people that are in the wrong direction are catching on. And, you know, my concern is my 2-year-old granddaughter, my 3-year-old grandson, you know, those young ones. I've got a 16 and 21-year-old grandsons, too. But that's my concern, because I want them to be able to grow up as I did in the greatest country in the world.
One last quick question. One of the things that Roger Simon once again reported in his article was that Carter Ham quietly retired last month. Were you aware of that? And have you spoken to Carter Ham? Do you know him personally or his friends?
He was in a war college class that I was in. Great, great guy. He has retired. And if I understood correctly, he retired as a 3-star, not a 4-star.
And he should have been promoted to a 4-star.
He was already a 4-star.
Oh,
they reduced him one.
Boy. Oh, that's
that was
great.
What I was. That's what I've been told.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Obama administration has had the most generals retire of any administration.
Look what he did to General Stan McChrystal.
Yeah.
One of my best friends.
I'm gone, folks.
Time just went by too fast tonight. Colonel McKnight, we'll see you next month. Mike, we'll see you soon, too, as well.
Folks, for the American adversaries, have a great night.
Night, everybody.